you for everybody that was able to make it across the river to Smithfield last week. I know that was a major blessing to everybody over there. And so that was kind of a fun thing. And our course continues.
It was really hard eating all that food.
I figured.
It was a big sacrifice.
That chocolate cake was
awesome. Took pictures.
Gosh,
okay, let's move on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I mentioned it.
Praise God for that chocolate cake.
Lord, forgive him. He knows not what he's doing. But the ongoing studies I'm doing, when I go up to Peoria every other month, is still an amazing thing. And so I think the messages are all fruit of what comes from that. And so I'm overwhelmed often with the studies that we're doing, the books that we're reading. And so you get some of it anyway in these things. And so just want to go back over a very familiar theme, but I'm just calling today, how loving is this love that loves us? And so the notes, first paragraph here, God gets mileage out of everything. I'm sure some of you have heard me say that. And I mean everything. Out of the suffering and tragedy and inhumanity of slavery came a soul-wrenching, hauntingly raw hymnody. Think, he's got the whole world in his hands. The image of our blue planet, snuggled securely in the palm of the friend of our souls, was birthed out of the deepest of human longings and erupted into lyric, melody, and rhythm in response to the Father's stunning affirmation of deep, enduring love. Because when you think of it, how could anything as beautiful as what we call now spirituals, this body of hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of songs that came out of the worst possible scenarios. And, you know, I think of scripture when it says when they were in bondage, and they, you know, how can we sing the Lord's songs when we're far from our home? And, you know, so these, the people that were living under these horrendous circumstances, and yet out of that, pressed out of that,
yes,
like the wine press, and it just, the God's love, God's faithfulness to them, God's very near presence in the most unimaginable situations, comes this beautiful bunch of music, which we sing without always thinking of, like, how did this even get born? How did this even come out? And yet, you know, so you think of all the spirituals and the things they're expressing. You know, we used to sing, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." And what really they were saying is, get me out of here. Like, take me away. You know, beam me up. If that was a little before that. But I think that's what they were asking. And yet singing it was such a neat way to express the joy that was birthed out, the intimacy with the Father. And, you know, so it's just like one of those who'da thunk it things. How could that possibly have happened? And I was reminded of that this morning driving in on 199, and there were a couple of cars in front of me, and this is of no consequence really, but there were two cars pulling off onto 60, and I just the perspective of where I was and where they were pulling off, I could see that their signal lights were in sync. So, I mean, I don't know how often that happens or whether you even notice that, but I thought, wow. And then I realized, oh, not only are they in sync, but it's the same car. There were two Honda CRVs, same model, so the same license, same plate. I'm like, wow, what a weird coincidence. Like, how, I don't know if that's ever happened before, at least I've never noticed anything like that before, but as they pull up and the signal lights were still blinking and they were still in sync. And you know, it's like an unexpected thing, and you go, well, God does stuff like that as well. When you least think of something happening, things come together. You know, and if we wanted to take time this morning, we could probably think of many situations where God showed up when you least expected him to, where things worked out somehow, and even after the fact, you're looking back and you're going, I have no clue how that happened. We're grateful, but no clue how he did what he did to resolve an issue and make it just go away, or wasn't at all what we thought it was going to be. And so the Lord interacts, and we were singing the psalm this morning, it caught me, and it says, and he calls me deeper still into love, love, love. Because he is the lover of our souls, the friend of our souls, we mentioned here. And he's communicating that all the time in big ways and little ways. And our issue often is we're too distracted to even notice. And so one of the things my studies are doing in the books and everything is just reminding me of how close he really is. So I want to answer the question with four different scripture verses this morning. How loving is this love that loves us? So in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, this is the creation story, and it's the verse that when God just speaks and said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And we read that over and over again. And so I was really caught this week. Now, this is how detailed things get. Have you ever thought of how cool the expression let's is? Let us? When someone suggests let us, let's, it's usually something fun. It's usually like, let's go for ice cream if you're at the Freeman House. Or it's 8:30 at night, let's go to bed, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it's always something you're looking forward to. And even if it's a task, let's means let's do this together. Let's clean this up. Let's get this finished. Let's do this. And it's a really great invitation. And so if your imagination is as wild as mine, you know, I want to kind of invite you to think about this Genesis 1:26. Because do you ever imagine movie scenes in your head? Like what this would look like? Do you ever go there? All right, crickets. Okay, well, anyway, I'm weird enough that I do sometimes. And so, you know, just want you to kind of picture this movie scene with me. If you have to close your eyes to blur the rest of us out so you can really get this. But here's the picture I have of this Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. So the scene opens, and it's a drone site, and it's going up this lush mountainside, and it's coming up to this leveled off area. Obviously, it's in heaven, and there's a city, all kinds of buildings and whatever, and you know how the drone just kind of zooms in and gets closer down into the area, and you see this enormous courtyard and a pool lined with palm trees, all kinds of flowers, and you hear the birds and all this kind of a Sound of Music introduction kind of situation. And you zoom in on the pool, and there are three people sitting on the edge of the pool, dangling their feet in the water. And it's the Holy Trinity. It's the Father, it's the Son, it's the Holy Spirit. They're just sitting by the edge of the pool, having a good time this gorgeous day. And then the shot zooms in on the Father, and his face lights up, and this big grin on his face, and he looks at the other two, and he goes, the idea dawns, and he goes, let's make man in our image, in our likeness. And the Son and the Holy Spirit are sitting there, and they go, yeah, let's. There's great joy, there's great happiness in this. And so I want us to kind of do this morning as a little bit of an exercise. So I'll do the part of God saying this. You all can be the Son and the Holy Spirit this morning for a brief moment. And your line is always to say, yeah, let's. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. So the Father, his face lights up and he goes,
yeah, let's.
No, he has to, the Father has to speak first. Okay, here's this, the Father speaks, and then there's
a
response.
That's a prophecy.
But there you go. Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that, actually, because I was going to say, the first thing the Father says is, let's make dawn in our image, in our likeness.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Or, let's make Tammy in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Keith in our image. Let's try it again. Let's make Keith in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Anna in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Andrea in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Chris in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Angela in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Garth in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Janice in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Liz in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Esme in our image.
Yes.
Let's make John in our image.
Yes.
Let's make John in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Brian in our image.
Yes.
Let's make Horace in our image.
Yes.
Do you see the party that's going on?
Yeah.
And I can just picture the Trinity sitting there with their feet dangling in the pool, and they're so excited with this great new idea as they picture the millions and billions of people that they're about to create.
Yes.
And let's make them in our image. Let's make them in our likeness. That's a crazy way to imagine things.
No, that's good.
But I think the Father takes great pleasure, great joy, and the rest of Scripture really keeps reiterating, repeating over and over again how incredibly in love with us the Father is. And so the first way how much loving he is, it's imaginatively, if you want to fill in your blank. He's imaginatively loving, creatively, we could say, but I had to make everything start with an I, so the word is imaginatively this morning, because I know you appreciate all my efforts at keeping things together. Then we move on to the prophet Jeremiah in 29:13, which we all know. But this is where the Father says, if you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me.
Yeah.
You know, and the picture I have there, because the imagination never ends, it's like an adult playing hide and seek with a child. So what does the adult want to do? Stay hidden forever or be found?
Be found.
The whole goal is to be found, because the joy and the delight on the child's face once you've disappeared and all of a sudden you show up, they just squeal with pleasure. They're so excited. They found you. The Father says, if you seek me, I will let you find me. It's his greatest joy as our Father that we find him, that we look for him, we cry out to him in our pain and our suffering and our confusion and all the other stuff, or as the creators of the hymnody that we talked about did in their sorrowful circumstances. And the Lord takes great delight in letting us find him. Or, you know, when my uncle used to play games with us as kids, he would come over. He would always let us win. He never won one game that he played with us. He always, always lost. My mother was not like that. My mother was, if you're going to win this game, you're going to win it fair and square or else. So, you know, it was a rough time. And so we often lost playing with my mother because she was very competitive. But not my uncle. So he was always, Uncle Lloyd was always too compassionate, too generous. And I think eventually we started catching on that he was doing it on purpose. But anyway, I mean, how many times can you lose a tic-tac-toe in a row? You know, I mean, it's just the odds would be that every once in a while you'd get it, but he never did. So the Father loves us in Jeremiah intimately. He loves the delight on your face, which is mirrored in his face when we find him. He comes out of hiding on purpose, or he makes a noise behind whatever bush he's hiding behind, just so that we know, oh, there he is. And, you know, and isn't it amazing how many times you do that with a child? Or, you know, every parent, every adult has done something like peekaboo with a child, you know, and before they know you're permanent, you know, you just hold something up to your face and you go, where did I go? And the child's like, oh, you've disappeared. And then you take down the page or whatever, And the child is like, oh, you're back. They're so excited. And I think, you know, the Father wants us to know that kind of intimacy with him, where he loves to play games and he loves to be found and he loves to let us win, because he's made so much provision for us in this. And then look at John 3:16. You know, how many times have we read, God so loved the world? He so loved the world. He just ached with love. And so the I there is intensely. He intensely loves us. It's not just every once in a while or when the mood strikes or because you made cinnamon rolls for breakfast. He loves us intensely. He desired us. And look at all the mess mankind has created on the earth. One time, God was ready to wipe everybody out. Sent a flood, started over. Didn't really get a whole lot better, actually. But he is intensely in love with his creation. He created us. He loves us. And like parents, you know, there are times when parents with the babies accepted here because they've never done anything wrong. But, you know, sometimes parents don't like their children, but they love them.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes you want to, as my mother would say, knock our block off, which was always a threatening thing. You know, but it would always be done with love, of course. So the Father doesn't like some of the things we do, but he loves us, and he wants fellowship with us. And so he loves us intensely. God so loved the world, he sent his only son. And we've often talked about these kind of things. What parent could really offer up their only child? And, of course, we have that Genesis 22 passage of Abraham being called by God to offer up the son of promise, Isaac. And it's almost too painful to read that, even though you know what happens, and we've talked about this, it's hard to read that story and to think about how it, you just don't even want to place yourself in that story, because it's just too much to think about that God would actually call Abraham to do this. And but we see that God's plan works out. He has an idea in mind. He's already done his thing. He knows what this is going to be. And so he loves us intensely, not just imaginatively and intimately and intensely, but the fourth one, and this verse came up in my reading this week, and I was kind of blown away by it. And so I hope I can do justice to what the Holy Spirit showed me in this. But Ephesians 1 and verse 4. I know we've read this so many times, we probably recite it by heart, but I've gone over this many, many times, and I've not really seen it this way. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, "For he, God, chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." And I was struck by that verse this week in a way that I never have been. He chose us to be holy and blameless before him in love. So I'm thinking it's like this. God dreams things, and they always become a reality. He dreamt up a dream team. We're it. What he chose to do was to see us with his widescreen, radiating only holiness and blamelessness. We have junk to deal with, but that's filtered out of his seeing, causing him to beam with pride and get his dance moves on and croon his love over us. That's what we sang this morning.
Yes.
He chooses us. He loves us. And the I here is infinitely, because forever is a long, long time. As I mentioned yesterday in my note, I think. So he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So when he was at the point of saying, let's make these people in our image and in our likeness, he was already planning how he would deal with what was about to happen in the garden. And so he chooses to see us. He chooses us to be holy and blameless before him in love. Yeah. As the love filters out, he can maybe see in grayscale, you know, the other stuff, our humanity and our sin and our failures and all that stuff. But what really shines, what really glows for him is the blood covering of Jesus. And he sees us as inheritors of his kingdom. He shares his glory. He shares his power with us. He delights to call us his own. There's so many verses that talk about this intense and infinite love of the Father for us. And so, and going back to the plantations and the slaves who worked on these places and the hymnody that rose up, these strong affirmations of God's love. Paul and Silas in prison at midnight in the grossest of circumstances, having been beaten and put in stocks and chains and rats running around and pitch black. And they're singing songs of praise. Now, they're not singing songs of praise at midnight just so we'll hail them as heroes 2,000 years later. They're doing this because they've had such an intimate encounter with this crazy, over-the-top love of the Father for them that it spills over. It just kind of, it gets squeezed out of them. You know, and someone said, you can always tell where we're at by what happens to us and what comes out of us when we're squeezed. You know, and that's a scary thing sometimes, because some days if we're squeezed, it's not very pretty, I'm sure. But Paul and Silas and these slaves who wrote these or sang these gorgeous songs that were transmitted orally, just kept singing them to generation after generation, and we sing them as well. Yeah. So the Father is madly in love with us, and he follows us. He's the hound of heaven. He chases us down, not to punish, not to correct us, but to show us how much he loves us. So, you know, it's like the father chasing his, probably his son, maybe his daughter too, but chasing him, and then he wrestles him to the ground and plays with him to wrestle. Not hurt, even though sometimes somebody ends up getting hurt, usually it's dad, with one majorly misplaced kick and the game is over. But the Father hunts us down. He wants to find us, like he wanted to find Adam and Eve in the cool of the day after they had taken the fruit and eaten it after he told them not to and they were hiding. But he wanted fellowship. He wanted to have that thing happen again. They were delighted every time they saw him, and he was delighted in their delight that he had placed in their hearts. So how loving is this love that loves us in 2019, in spite of our failures, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of the junk that we create, in spite of the world that we have culturally poisoned somehow by our humanity. He loves us imaginatively still, and he's constantly creating us. Every day he shows us new things. And he loves us intimately, in spite of the junk, and intensely. He still loves the world. Is that amazing? God still loves the world. But it's in spite of a long laundry list of things that are not what he loves. And he loves us infinitely. There will be no end to this love that's been planted in our hearts. The place that puts us to know that he loves us imaginatively, intimately, intensely, and infinitely, that has the potential of setting up our days, even our Mondays, or Tuesday for Anna when she goes back to school. It could set up her day with a sense that God goes with me in this. He's making provision for this day, and I can find joy in this day because the Father is with me. And even though circumstances may not be great, the people I work with might not be great, the equipment may not function the way it needs to be, the kids may be unruly because it's hot and too late to be in school and they want to be home playing, whatever the circumstances are, the Father goes with us into our day and wants to remind us that He's with us 24/7. He's right there. And when we go, I don't know what to do about fill in the blank, the Father says, I do. And if we're listening, He can give us that peace. He can give us that joy. He can give us that ability to represent His kingdom out of the abundance of this love that pours into our hearts. You know, I suggested yesterday in the note, if you read it, it's kind of like a Niagara Falls kind of love.
Yeah.
It's just intense. And if you've ever been to Niagara Falls and taken the little boat that goes practically under the falls, as you get close to the falls and everybody gets rain gear because otherwise you'd be soaked to the skin, there's so much mist in the air. But it's roaring to the point where you can't hear yourself talk to your neighbor. It's the noise is so intense with these, whatever the number of 1,000 tons a second of water go over the falls. It's pretty intense. That's the Father and His love and His seeking us out. And so we think about coming to communion this morning, and as Brian said, you know, we're here. We're standing on the shoulders of many, many generations of people who've gone before us, who've helped us, who've fought for us, for our nation, who've prayed for us in the midst of the worst of our messes, who've been our support, our guides. And sometimes even the people who opposed us helped us see that we have someone else on our side in spite of those who oppose us. And so we come with renewed gratitude on this Memorial Day weekend as we come to communion, because Jesus made this life all worthwhile. And because I can't help myself, I want to read another one of these Gorillas of Grace prayers as we come to communion this morning. And he says, "Praise be to you, O Lord, for life and for my intense desire to live. Praise be to you for the mystery of love and for my intense desire to be a lover. Praise be to you for this day and another chance to live and love. Thank you, Lord, for friends who stake their claim in my heart, for enemies who disturb my soul and bump my ego, for tuba players and storytellers and trapeze troops. Thank you, Lord, for singers of songs, for teachers of songs, who help me sing along the way, and for listeners. Thank you, Lord, for those who attempt beauty rather than curse ugliness, for those who take stands rather than take polls, for those who risk being right rather than pandering to be liked, for those who do something rather than talking about everything. Lord, grant me grace then and a portion of your Spirit that I may so live as to give others cause to be thankful for me. Thankful because I have not forgotten how to hope, how to love, how to say I'm sorry, how to forgive, how to bind up wounds, how to dream, how to cry, how to pray, how to love when it is hard, and how to dare when it is dangerous. Undam me, Lord, that praise may flow more easily from me than wants. Thanks more readily than complaints. Praise be to you, Lord, for life. Praise be to you for another chance to live." And so, Father, we want to echo these words this morning of thanks. Thanks for this love that gives us life. And for being the one who loves us imaginatively. And the one who loves us intensely. And the one who loves us intimately. And the one who loves us with the other eye. Intimately. We come this morning, Father, to communion. We celebrate these elements that represent your broken body and your shed blood. Because through these elements of the perfect sacrifice, we're here this morning. And as Luther would say, we're here, warts and all. And we're bathed in your love. We're secure in your love. With all the mess and with all the other stuff, we want to come with grateful hearts this morning for all that you provide. And could we give people reason to give thanks because of us? So we thank you, Father, for your sacrifice, for your great plan for us, and for the fact that you never turn your back on us. Prepare our hearts, Father, to receive with grateful hearts these elements which represent your sacrifice for us, because you so loved the world. Father, today we ask for grace. Grace to be able to perceive or receive or bask in the reality of your 24/7 love for us. That you would cause awareness of your nearness to warm us. That you are the air we breathe. You are the air in our lungs, as we've sung this morning. And we are never outside of your watch care. So would you grace us today to sense that, to know, to have a knowing that we'd not just live unaware. And in that awareness, recognize that we also carry the aroma of Christ, and we can be attractive believers. So thanks for this gorgeous day and for this wonderful weekend. Thank you for allowing us to celebrate you and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.